Exodus chapter 20. And this is the living word of God. To impress it on our minds, would you please rise and we will recite it together. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Father, indeed, we thank you for an amazing promise to us. I pray that we learn as we come to your table what more of what this means. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, last week I shared about the different levels of leadership and basically saying that we must honor people in appropriate ways, but we're to see here that we are to preserve the honor, first of all, and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, and equals. It's a little, maybe hearing those words is a little hard. It's we maybe would change the wording a little bit. But as we saw last week, though, we are commanded to come to this table. The Lord is commanding us, and so rightly we honor that, and we come before him. And our parents and husbands have a role in leading, in instructing us, and helping us to come rightly to this table and exercising leadership in their families. And the elders' role, as I mentioned, is in keeping this sacrament according to the word of God, and it is our obligation to honor and respect all of us, to honor and respect all God-given authority. So, related to the Shorter Catechism, question and answer 64, we're to honor others and perform these duties. This is, again, written in a little bit older style, but basically, we're to show respect to whom it is due. And we're not only to whom it is due, but in the right manner. So it should be willingly and even cheerfully. So first of all, I'd like to go through those three words, superiors, first of all. Superiors would be parents, husbands, elders, magistrates, and the elderly, people who are above us in person, place, or dignity. That's, again, an older style of saying. People who should be honored. And then there's inferiors, children who are younger, the weaker, but not inferior in value. It means in its matter of position. And then equals, brothers and sisters, kindred, friends, acquaintances, and peers. So many, just an example, when I was teaching at the university, many of my former international students saw the friendliness of Americans to people of all walks of life, really. Especially Asians said, wow, you people are so friendly, it seems, and relative informality. There's relative informality. And so some of them kind of took it to an extreme, and I had to teach them, well, there is a form here. You can't quite say those things that way. Yeah, it's like honest, and yeah, Americans, you say, are like that. But, you know, they would say, well, you Americans, just you slap each other on the back and say, hey, bud, and you've only known them for 5 minutes. But they're not like that in Asia, certainly not in Japan. And so they wrongly concluded that we don't have respectful language in America. But that is not true. In Japan, there's a very formal and defined system of language. It's called a vertical society. You have to know where you are on this line. You're on this line somewhere. And you got to relate to those people in a certain way and these people in a certain way. And it changes your whole language, which makes Japanese very difficult. And it is complicated. And in Japan, when we left anyway, many of the young people say, we don't even understand the levels of complexity of relating in this country. It's hard. You got to grow up there. And even if you do grow up there, apparently, it's a challenge. And it is. It's certainly a challenge for foreigners to go over there. And they give a lot of grace in that, thankfully. But as informal as our language is, comparatively, we actually do have, there is politeness expected. There are respectful ways to communicate with elders to those in positions of honor or positions of leadership, to those over us in our family and in the church and in society. So I'm just going to list here to conclude some verses related to those positions. So one duty of children, is to revere their parents. And by several ways, by respectful speech, by obedience. Ephesians 6 is the key passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So the Apostle Paul put the fifth commandment right there at that point. And then even to give parents reasons for rejoicing. You know, you should enable them to rejoice, not to suffer. So Proverbs 23 says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right or what are right things." And then moving on, parents. Parents, we have a duty to bring our children up in the Lord. Ephesians 6 again, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And then there's Deuteronomy 6. I won't go there, but I think you know what it says there about us leading our families. Servants should obey their masters. So in our situation, it would be employees. The employees should strive to be respectful to their employers and their managers. Ephesians 6 again, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ." So should be done as unto the Lord. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Even if it's a hard situation, you do the will of God from the heart. And then masters or employers should strive to be just to their servants, to the employees, not threatening. It says here, Ephesians 6 again, "Knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him." So partiality should not be allowed. And then subjects or citizens should be to their magistrates, according to 1 Peter 2, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." We're to honor those whom God has placed sovereignly over us as much as we can. Titus 3 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities." Of course, Romans 13 talks about rendering honor to whom honor is due. And then wives to husbands and husbands to wives. Ephesians 5, I don't even need to read it. We're called to love and respect one another. Peers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." And then to the elderly, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." And then finally, basically includes everyone here, 1 Peter 5 says, "All of you, be submissive to one another," this is in the body, "and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So all of these, dear family, have as their foundation honoring the Lord. We honor the Lord, and we honor our parents given to us by the Lord, and that's really where we begin to learn these things, or should. And so as we come to the table of the Lord now, to this table, we should come to show respect, of course, to show honor to our Heavenly Father, and we can rejoice in these various roles and duties that he's called us to have, which really increase our love for and our honor of our everlasting King and Master and Savior as we are doing those in faith. May we do so. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for establishing rulers and authorities for our good and for your sovereign authority over them all. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to preserve the honor to whom it is due and to perform the rightful duties that we have, acknowledging that you are our Heavenly Father and our Savior and our counselor and guide, and you are the Lord of all. And so, Lord, we come now as your adopted children through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Amen.